We're doing the Chafetz Chaim Sfat Tamim. We're up to page Lamed Aleph. Chafetz Chaim has been expanding in this chapter. The final chapter has been going off on a long discussion as to the importance of being an honest person, a whole person. And now there's a footnote which we skipped, so we'll fill it in. There's this important work called Pele Yoetz. And here's what he says, Ot Masa Umatan, when he speaks about business. Gentlemen, I do not recommend Pele Yoetz for you guys. Not yet. Pele Yoetz is a work that was written by Rabbi Papau, however you pronounce it. It is a book that goes on, he discusses different topics, but in the introduction to the book, he writes, I trust you, the rabbi who's going to teach my work, to be intelligent and not read it cover to cover before the masses, but rather read before you teach it and see, because some of what I write is right for you and not right for the masses. So there are parts of the book that will really rub you the wrong way. And that's why I don't recommend this book for you guys. He writes in his intro, I'm writing this book for teachers. And the teachers have to decide, based on where their students are holding, what to teach them. So then it's like the teacher's guide. It's not the student's guide. So it's not the right book for students.
For example, what might you know this one?
Ah, very good, Yaakov. So here he's quoting something that's going to rub us and it's going to be right for us. The Pele Yoetz writes as follows. It's well known that the first question they asked the man on Judgment Day, they're going to ask him, were you honest in your business dealings? And today, among our many sins, that people make these worthless claims, that today the economy is so bad, it's so hard to make a living. If someone wants to deal honestly, he won't even have bread with salt. There's no way you can make a living honestly. Of course, you got to cut corners. And it's become assumed that it's permissible. People think it's permissible to be dishonest. People think it's permissible to lie, to charge unfairly, to steal openly, hiddenly, to extend one's border illegitimately, and so many evil things. He says, forget the fact that they don't keep Shabbos and they don't pray in shul and they're not learning Torah, but they think that in business everything's allowed. You can lie and cheat and steal, and anything you can get away with is permissible, because otherwise you won't even have bread to eat. People don't even think about it to regret what they've done wrong. Woe to the creatures, woe to people when they'll be taken to judgment. And it's not for nothing that our sages said that the world to come was created with the smallest letter of the alphabet, the Yud, because there are only few people going there, so it's created with the smallest letter. Because the whole Torah is encompassed in this concept of being a faithful, honest person. Kedichtiv, as the verse says in Habakkuk, v'tzadik be'munato yichyeh. A righteous person lives in faith. In faith meaning he's honest with other people. Now, he's skipping the Talmud. He's just quoting the verse from Habakkuk, but the Talmud says that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to summarize the Torah. King David tried to summarize the Torah. Came Habakkuk and put it all down to one thing. V'tzadik be'munato yichyeh. You want to sum it all up? Be a faithful person. Faithful in every way. V'adam nikal b'chiso. You want to know what type of person a person is? Check out his wallet. Ki ma'amin b'Hashem ki hu noten koach la'asot chayil. That's where you see, does he really trust Hashem, that Hashem will give him the strength, the capacity to succeed? V'shekol muzonotav shel adam k'tzuvin om rosh hashana mipi elyon. Does a person really accept it, that it's been decided in heaven how much he's going to make? Lo yamin shal yedei ovro pi Hashem yatzeich b'chol drachav. A person wouldn't think You know, if I transgress what God says, I'll succeed. People are, don't talk that way. It's very interesting. This past Shabbos, you were all by us, right? So I don't know how many of you noticed, our fridge went on us. So we're holding Shabbos morning, and suddenly I'm telling my wife, I don't want us to serve the tuna. I'm not sure the tuna is still good. I don't want us to serve the eggs. I took a bite of the eggs and I took that off the table. I'm not sure what's working. What?
The eggs were okay,
right? But that's why everyone in my family had a stomachache after Shabbos, right? So, after the meal, my wife asked me, could we start taking things out of the fridge? Could we move them to neighbor's fridge? I said, depends what. We had a lot of hard cheese. We had just bought hard cheese. So now, hard cheese is expensive. This is where you start getting tempted. It's Shabbos, a hot Shabbos day. You know it's going to be 12 hours before you're going to deal with the fridge. Do I take the loss of 150 shekel on all the cheese and other stuff, or do I say, I could move it to someone else's fridge? But that's a hana. I'm preparing for a weekday. It's not food I'm eating today. It has nothing to do with me today. It's cheese that I have no thought whatsoever to eat right now. I have food there that's irrelevant. Am I going to take the meat out of the freezer that's not even cooked, that's not edible, that's muktzah?
Yeah, but you buy 30 kilos.
What?
30 kilos.
Okay, so I'm saying...
It's not muktzah. You need to feed your family, though.
So you can move it.
It's not like...
Meat is muktzah, raw meat.
The cheese,
technically it's not muktzah, but if I'm going to start working now for 20 minutes, transferring things from my fridge, I'm really preparing for a weekday. I'm preparing for tomorrow. I want to have cheese for tomorrow. It's not today's cheese. I'm not eating it today.
You got to feed your family. This isn't like your kiwi's going to break. This is, you know, food that your family's going to eat.
Right, but I could get more food tomorrow morning. It's not going to break the bank. It's just I don't feel like taking the loss of 150 shekel. Okay. So I'm saying there are, a person suddenly finds himself cornered. And I'm looking at the fridge and I'm looking at the freezer. And I'm surprised at how I'm contemplating. Hey, wait a second. Is there a way out here? Is there a way we can do it? Comes back with Chafetz Chaim and tells us, Adam Nikal Bekiso. If you think about it, what you're going to make, what you're going to lose, it's being decided Rosh Hashanah. Now you got to play the game by the rules. The question is, how much do we really think that way? Or do we think, I'm going to save 150 shekel. I'll just cut a corner, grab the stuff, move it away. That's what we think. You know, sure, I'm going to save the money. That's what we think. So there are lines that you sometimes have to tell yourself. You know, a person goes to the mechanic, and the mechanic tells him the carburetor one. It's going to cost you 5,000 shekel. So a person can say, that's 5,000 shekel. That's a lot of money. Or a person can say, I'd much rather be spending it on a carburetor than on a kidney. You know, there are all kinds of needs in life. If I had to spend money, let it be on things like that.
Is that a concept in Judaism?
Why not?
Like,
saying it, we say, I have no idea. If I was going to lose the money, I'd rather lose it on something as simple as stones and the mundane.
Are you desperate to lose the money?
So we just said it's been decided from Rosh Hashanah how much money you're going to make this year. So if you're going to have to spend money and you won't have it for you at the end of the year in your piggy bank, that was decided. If you have to spend it on a carburetor. But just a second. Yes, Yaakov?
I just want to ask if you want to
cook. I was talking to your neighbor, Mr. Cheskis.
Are then you not allowed to return food to the fridge after eating it if you don't think that you would eat it?
Returning food to the fridge on Shabbos is part of the normal use of the food on Shabbos. You eat the food, you finish it, you put it in the fridge. That's why at the end of Suda Shlishit you can put it back in the fridge, even though technically you're preparing it for the next meal, which is after Shabbos. This is how I use this food on Shabbos. I take it out, I put it back. That's normal use on Shabbos. I finish eating a meal, I put my dishes in the sink, but I'm not going to eat another meal at home today. It doesn't matter. When I finish the meal, I don't leave dirty dishes on the table. I put them in the sink. I'm preparing for tonight when I'll wash the dishes. No, you're not. This is how you deal on Shabbos. So anything that's a normal part of preparation, that's okay. You're sitting down, you have a cup of coffee, now you want to put the milk back in the fridge. Wait, I'm preparing for Matzei Shabbos. The answer is that's not a problem because you're not preparing for Matzei Shabbos. The normal usage of milk involves putting it back in the fridge when you finished using it. But the normal usage of cheese does not involve transferring it out to another fridge. It's because I want to save it for Sunday. I don't want it to go bad. I need it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
If it goes bad, is it going to make the entire house smell for your Shabbat?
Yaakov, you have excellent angles of leniency. You're 100% right. You're right. That would be an angle to discuss. You're 100% right, because then I'm doing it for my Shabbos. You're right. I should have had you there. I should have discussed it with you. But
you're putting the milk in the fridge, the same reason why you want to switch the cheese from one fridge to another.
The normal usage of milk is that when I'm done with it, I put it in the fridge. Not as preparation for tomorrow. It's the normal usage I do today. Today, when I finish with milk, that's considered the way I put it away. Just like you might put it back in the closet, you put it back in the fridge. It's a storage now. It's not only storage for tomorrow. Back to here, I'm just saying, back to the Chafetz Chaim, that these things seem obvious until you're faced with them. When you're faced with them on a day-to-day basis, suddenly they're not obvious. They're much harder to swallow. So I told my wife, Matzei Shabbos, I said, look, I think all we're going to have to do is defrost the freezer. I think there's been ice piling up in the freezer. And if we defrost it, it's finished. Now, it'll be okay. We'll have a working fridge. So if we think of the loss of 150 or 200 shekel worth of food, just remember that to bring a technician down would have cost us 500 shekel before he said boo. So we saved 500 shekel if we've salvaged it. So, okay. We don't know God's calculations here or there. I'm just saying when we read this in the Chafetz Chaim, it seems so easy. If you believe in God, so then you're not worried about your money. No, you are worried about your money because at the end of the day, you know where your bank account's holding, you know what your expenses are, and it does worry you. Okay, so then we have to train ourselves within life to think, I'm going to do my best, and at the end of the day, I don't control the show. Yes, Yaakov.
So it's such a thing as saying, well, if it could be good, then you shouldn't throw it away because someone might go hungry.
Two things. With regard to throwing away food, we say, Bal tashchit gufa adif, the Gemara says. Destroying your body is worse than destroying food. So if I'm worried the food will harm me, then I should really not do something that might harm me. Now, it also depends on how sensitive people are. Some people have stomachs that are not so sensitive and they can eat food that's half rotten and they're fine with it. Some people have sensitive stomachs, and if they eat something that's not 100%, then they can feel bad for a long time. So that depends. A person should not eat something that could endanger him. No, I didn't say that. If you're in doubt that it'll really affect you. Sometimes you could smell, sometimes you could check. So the milk we took, we checked, the milk was already all spoiled. Finished, I know the milk spoiled. The kugels we thought were good. Our stomach aches didn't exactly validate that. We called the shots wrong. When I saw one of the kids was doubled over with a stomach ache, I took all the food from the fridge and threw it out. I said, we're not sure what's spoiled and what isn't. I'm not going to have the kids sitting around with stomach aches now because I think this is probably good and that's probably good and that's probably good. So I said, okay, it's not worth it. Initially, I thought I had gotten rid of the food that was spoiled and I left only the food that was good. The facts didn't agree with me. So, okay. Yeah. I'm not hearing you, I'm sorry.
Actually, I don't think the question makes sense.
So okay. Say that. Okay, back to the Chafetz Chaim. So he says a person can be checked with his wallet. The Gemara, you guys know the Gemara? Adam Nikar, a person is recognized bekiso, bekoso, bekaso. With his keys, with his wallet, where he spends his money, bekoso, how he drinks, uvekaso, and how he gets angry. Those are the three tests. You want to see a person, that's where you see him. So, back to our Chafetz Chaim. So, a person can be recognized through his wallet. When a person really believes that Hashem is the one that's giving him capacity to produce, and that all of man's food is already decided from Rosh Hashanah, a person doesn't think, hey, if I only cut this corner, things will go well for me. ואם יצליח בוודאי בלי שום ספק שיהיה אושר שמור לי ועליו לרעתו. And even if it seems like he succeeded, he should know that sometimes God gives a person wealth to hurt him. Just because he got wealthy doesn't mean that God's overlooking him. You see, a person will say, I kept my shop open on Shabbos, and look, ever since I started doing that, my stocks are up. Great, who told you it's in your interest? Aside from the punishment that's waiting in the world to come, wait and see how it plays itself out in this world. You don't know. And if you see someone who's honest, and all his business practices are good, and he's barely making ends meet, this wonderful, honest businessman, he can barely cover his costs. God forbid you should think that through piety, he's losing out on life. Hashofet kol ha'aretz yaaseh mishpat yosher. Do you really think the one who's in charge of earth, who's judging everything, won't do things justly? Chalila v'chas, rak lo nitkenu alilot. Leave it to God. He knows what he's planning, but he's paying attention. V'amamin b'Hashem be'emet b'lev shalem. And if someone really believes Hashem, yamin b'emunah sh'atzu tamim po'alo k'chol drachav mishpat. He will really believe that Hashem decides and everything's fair. I don't understand. I see the guy whose shop is closed on Shabbos, he's making much less money. I see the guy who's honest, he's making much less money. I would add one more point. He's going to say, v'chol David rechmana l'tav avid. Whatever God does is for good. And if this guy seems to have less assets, there's a plan behind it. You don't know it yet, but there is a plan there. Lemani tavlo bolam shekulo tov. It could be it's so that he has a better world in the world to come. Then emet shekol Yisrael ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim, aval lo amunah ikar v'akol fi rov ha'maaseh sheyeh murah le'emunah atkan leshono. Ordinarily, everyone would be stomping here. Anachnu ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim. We're all believers, the sons of believers. But he says it's not enough to believe. Your actions have to reflect your belief. I warn you, and I've said it before, when you have someone who's doing business with you, who talks a lot about God and having faith in God, you have to think 15 times, maybe he's trying to con you. If he really believed in God, he doesn't have to talk about it so much. Very often that's a cover-up for the fact that he's about to con you. He says, it's not enough that we all believe. Your actions have to reflect that you believe in God. I told you the story, the guy who tried to convince me to take his worker to fix something. And he said, he kept saying, you make no money if you're dishonest with people, and I believe in God, and I don't believe I can make a penny if God didn't tell you to make a penny. And then he offers me a price, which I got for a lower price, a much better job. And he was guaranteeing me that I would never find anyone that would offer such a good price. He's offering me for 5,000 shekel, half the job, and I got someone else for 3,000 or 4,000 shekel to do twice the amount of work he was offering to do. Fine, but that's a rule. If someone shows his piety and how much he believes in God, you have to really be suspect. What's really going on here? But I want to add one more point. There's a practical application here. There are people who open up shops, and then they're very honest, and they don't succeed. So then maybe they shouldn't be in that line of business. There are businesses where you can only succeed if you lie and cheat. There are such businesses. And you shouldn't enter such a business and say, I'll be honest. But then you won't succeed because the business is built on cheating. There are areas where it's known that if you give a price quote, you always have to up the price quote by 30% before you finish your job. Catch them by the throat, catch them when they really need you. And then you tell, look, either this is the things change, you didn't tell me you wanted this, you didn't tell me you wanted that, and you find ways to make your 30% after you closed on a price, and then you turn back on the price. You find all kinds of reasons. If that's the line of business, then maybe you don't belong in that line of business. This idea that you should always be honest doesn't mean go into any line of business and being honest will allow you to make a fair living. I'll give you a small example. I don't want to tell the story. I'll tell you the story off the record. Okay, I'll go off the record now. Sorry, guys. So we finished our Sfat Tamim, and we'll pick up here with Zachim next time.